This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. In January 1940, Irving Berlin, the most popular songwriter in America, raced into his office and asked his musical secretary to take down a new song. Berlin said, "Not only is it the best song I ever wrote, it's the best song anybody ever wrote." Irving Berlin's three-minute song was a seasonal secular hymn that has lasted more than half a century. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg reports on what has been the biggest popular song of all time.
Lots of Christmas songs are part of our holiday soundtrack.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose.
Feliz Navidad.
Not one of those songs would exist if it hadn't been for this one.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
Today, we can hardly imagine Christmas without secular Christmas tunes, but really, they weren't part of popular music culture until Irving Berlin wrote White Christmas.
Jody Rosen, author of the book White Christmas, the story of an American song, out this week, says before Berlin, we imported our Christmas traditions. Americans sang Adeste Fideles and Silent Night and listened to Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Irving Berlin gave Americans an American song to sing, and sing, and sing, and sing.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas,
just like the ones I used to know.
This is not your chipper little Frosty the Snowman or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
No, not at all. Everyone knows the song very well, but people sort of know it so well that they hardly know it at all. Our ears are kind of closed when we hear White Christmas because we're so used to hearing it. But in fact, if you step back and think about the dramatic situation in the song, the narrator is recalling something that is beyond his reach. He says, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas just like the ones I used to know."
A dream, a yearning, melancholy. Writer Jody Rosen says it's a nose pressed up against the glass song from an immigrant Jewish outsider about a holiday that was never his. Irving Berlin was 5 when his parents brought him to America from Russia. The first Christmas he remembered was spent on Manhattan's Lower East Side at the home of Irish neighbors.
He remembered the sight of their Christmas tree, which he later said seemed to him to tower to heaven. In fact, it was a tiny, sort of miserable little tree, but for the immigrant Irving Berlin, or at that point Izzy Beilin, as his real name was Israel Beilin, the holiday represented the magic and wonder of the New World.
It seems to me there's an even more universal theme here, and it's something that many people feel, that Christmas somehow never lives up to your expectations. And maybe it's that connection to the song and its melancholy and all of that that keeps us listening to it and singing it.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. It sort of sums up the ambivalence that most of us feel when we approach these holidays, which promise so much but can never quite grasp.
Where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
The shadows of White Christmas are hidden in a way. Berlin's lyrics are simple. Of the 53 words in the chorus, 44 are monosyllables. The rhymes are almost banal. Glisten, listen is about as fancy as they get. It's the music that carries the melancholy, especially toward the end.
The key musical passage in White Christmas occurs in the final 8-bar section of the 32-bar psalm, which is the part that goes, may your days be merry. And then comes the climax, which is the leap to the word bright, which I won't attempt to sing because I think that might shatter various listeners' eardrums.
That's all right. We'll let Bing Crosby sing it.
May your days be merry and bright.
That C natural on the word bright is the only note Berlin holds for more than four beats. And on that note, the key shifts from F major to F minor, a darker musical neighborhood. Here it is again.
May your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
Maybe it was that section, or maybe it was because Irving Berlin was not that great a singer, but Jody Rosen says when the composer first played the song for the Hollywood big shots who would make the film for which it was written, Holiday Inn, they sat on their hands.
When he performed the song for studio executives, they didn't think much of it and kind of walked away puzzled. Bing Crosby, when Berlin gave a private performance for him in his dressing room at Paramount Studios in Hollywood, told Irving Berlin, "Irving, you don't have to worry about this one." But in fact, Crosby went away and privately told other people that he was a little nervous about the song and didn't think it was that great.
And Crosby rolled his eyes when he said it. Still, Bing Crosby gave the song its first public performance on his 1941 Christmas Eve radio show. It was 17 days after Pearl Harbor. No recording exists. Holiday Inn opened in August 1942. Crosby sang White Christmas twice in the film to the near total disregard of the critics. But in the fall of 1942, just 60 years ago, the song began to take off.
It was the first autumn that American troops were overseas fighting World War II and approaching the first Christmas that they would spend away from home.
Irving Berlin's song poured out of PX and USO jukeboxes and Armed Forces Radio. Soldiers wrote home for their own recordings. By Halloween of 42, White Christmas was the number one song on the hit parade, and Berlin worried that it had peaked too soon. But the war, the season, and the song's sentiments were in perfect harmony. Although White Christmas has no religion in it, no baby Jesus, no manger, it sanctified the holiday season and became a wartime anthem of love and longing.
May your day be merry and bright.
In December 1942, the poet Carl Sandburg wrote that Pearl Harbor had taught Americans to be a little sad and lonesome without being sickly about it, and White Christmas echoed those feelings. Sandburg said, "This latest hit of Irving Berlin catches us where we love peace." I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News.